Father, we just want to thank you for an amazing day, not because the sun is shining and not just because of the beauty of our surroundings, but simply because you made it. And because you made it, this day is jam-packed with purpose, with plans, with good works that you have prepared for us to walk in. I thank you, Lord, to the measure that we have already walked in them this morning. And I pray now as we open our hearts to receive your word. I pray, God, that your word will find a people that will receive your word with meekness and with faith in their hearts. They would mix it with faith, and it will profit us all much. I pray, God, that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you. And I pray now, God, that let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this morning I want to continue with a process that the Lord has been busy with us as a family. It started about a year and a half ago. I think the Lord started speaking to us about the love of God. And then the Lord started connecting obedience to love, that if we really say that we love God, one of the ways that we show our love for God is that we obey Him. And it was very clear in John, he who loves God is the one who obeys His commandments. And then the Lord also started speaking to us about prayer, and Henta spoke about fasting and prayer. Who of you remember that? That was amazing. And just what God is stirring with regards to prayer in our hearts and with regards to the issue of fasting. And then Neil started speaking about the kingdom and the life in the kingdom and what it means for us to be a people that are people of the kingdom. And so this morning I want to continue in that vein. And I want to return to a portion of Scripture that we've, in this process, we've returned to this portion of Scripture often, and that's Matthew chapter 6. And so I know that most of you, if I say Matthew chapter 6, a lot of you will remember that the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer is in there, and also a very well-known portion of Scripture that we often quote but hardly ever live. Seek first the kingdom and all His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. This morning in the prayer meeting, in the intercession beforehand, the word also came to us, amongst other things, in Isaiah chapter 35. And it says, I just want to read one portion or one. It says, verse 3, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble and the tottering knees. And say to those who are of fearful or anxious heart, some translation says, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Lord will come with vengeance. He will come with the reward or the recompense of God, and He will come to save you. So this morning I want to speak about putting the kingdom first and seeking the kingdom first. But I want to bring it into the context where Jesus spoke to His disciples. And if you would go with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read from around about verse 20. I do want to encourage us all that we live in a day and age where we want everything quick. We want 2-minute noodles, 1-minute oats. We don't want to think. We just Google. No, we want everything quick, and everything must come quick, and everything, and we want new stuff all the time. And that sometimes hampers us when it comes to the things of the kingdom. Because the things of the kingdom often comes by repetition. It often comes by repetition, and Christianity is not a set of topics that you need to master. It's not a set of topics that you need to run through so that you will come to a knowledge or to a belief system. But it is a way of life. In other words, if it's not done, If it's not done, it's not real. It's not just about acquiring more information and more knowledge and more revelation, but to the measure that we actually do what has been revealed, it shows that we've truly understood what was meant. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's speaking to people. He says this in verse 19. Do not gather and heap up and store up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust and worm consume and destroy and where thieves break through and steal. But rather heap up and store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor worm consume and destroy, and where thieves do not break through and steal. I'm reading from the Amplified, so if it looks a little bit different in your translation, that's all right, bear with me. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is sound, your entire body will be full of light. But if your eye is unsound, for your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the very light in you is darkness, how dense is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever you trust in. Therefore, I tell you, stop being anxious. This is what Jesus tells us. He commands us. He doesn't suggest. He says to the people around him, I command you now, don't be anxious. That's a command. He says, therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious and worried about your life, about what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and about your body, what shall you put on? Is not life greater than food and the body greater than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not more worth than they? And who of you by worrying and being anxious can add one unit of measure to his stature or to the span of your life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn how thoroughly how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and green and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentile or the pagans, they wish and they crave and seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you have need of them. Okay, so can you understand that Jesus is really pressing the point here about anxiety? He's really pushing the point with regards to being worried about our physical needs. He is clearly and repeatedly saying to his disciples and to the people that are hearing him, do not be worried. Do not be anxious about what you will eat. Do not be anxious about what you will have to drink. Do not be anxious of what you will wear. And would you agree with me that we live in a day and age where these things that Jesus speaks about have not only become need-based, but has become sort of the issues of our society. The issue of food. I mean, it's not just food for survival or not just food for enjoyment, but we've almost become cultish about food. We binge watch programs, MasterChef. We watch them incessantly. We watch cooking programs incessantly. When it comes to drinking, we become snobbish about coffee. when we talk about clothes, we are so aware about what we are wearing and fashion trends, and we watch once again TV programs and reality shows on What's it called? Oh, you're not falling for that one, are you? What, America's Next Top Model or whatever? About fashion. So fashion, we are preoccupied with fashion and food. And Jesus, and he speaks clearly to a generation, and he says, don't worry and don't anxious and don't let these things become the things that determines what you talk about and think about and worry about and be anxious about. Because he says, if we do that, we are exactly like the people that don't believe. And he speaks to them and he says to them, he describes them as a people of little faith. And if you really go and look at Jesus, it's one of the things that Jesus often spoke to his disciples about. It was one of the things that he, if Jesus would ever become unhappy, he would often tell them, why did you stop believing? Oh, you have little faith. And when Jesus speaks here, he says, he equates this, he says that you are believers. You are supposed to be people of faith. But if you worry and if you are anxious and concerned about the things that the people that don't have faith, he says, how are you different? He says the Gentiles also, the pagans also worry about these things. And then he says this beautiful thing. He says, your Father knows well what you have need of. Your Father knows. And how many of our prayers are about provision? How many of our prayers are about the things that our Father already knows that we have need of? And how much of our lives and our conversations and our thoughts are preoccupied? I want to ask you, when you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that you start thinking about? Not the first thing that you know you should be thinking of, but the very first thing. Who of you sometimes when you wake up in the morning, the first thing that you that comes up in your mind, how's my finances going to work out? Come and be honest. Nobody? Okay, maybe Weet-Bix. Coffee. But Jesus speaks here. He says, don't be like the unbelievers. He says, be different. And he says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And in all these other things together, taken together, will be given to you besides. And then he, in verse 35, he emphasized again, so do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient each day is its own troubles. So I want to press home this morning the issue about what it means to live in the kingdom. What is a kingdom mindset? We were also speaking about, Niels has started speaking about a culture that God wants to create a culture, and we want to create a culture that represents the kingdom of God, that is likened unto the kingdom of God, so that it does not become our last resort of thinking, but it becomes our first response. That there will be almost be like a divine impulse that we will instinctively act like people of the kingdom. That we will instinctively and led by the Spirit be a people that think along the lines of people that understand the kingdom and the King. Instead of having to sort of fight this impulse of being natural people and sometimes having a spiritual thought. I believe God wants us to be a people that has this divine impulse in us, that whenever we are confronted with the things of life, and mind you, we will be confronted by the same things in life that the pagans do and the unbelievers do. But here is our testimony, that we respond and we react differently because we think differently. That is why Jesus and John the Baptist, when they started preaching, they said, repent. And that word physically means change your mind. Change your mind. Change the way that you think. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven has now come. It's near. It's almost here. And for you to be able to live in this new dispensation of the kingdom, you need to think differently. You need to think differently from the people that don't understand the kingdom. And this is what separates us from the world, really. For a long time, people have thought that if you become a Christian, you can create and cultivate for yourself a life that is totally different from people that are in the world. And then you were desperately disappointed when you faced the same struggles. You also had to pay rent. You also get sick. Your children also not always perform according to your standards. You struggle relationally. People struggle relationally just as the world. But the thing about the people of the kingdom is that they think differently and they react differently because they seek first the kingdom. So if we want to create a culture that represents the kingdom, we need to think differently. We need to align our thoughts with the Word of God. We need to be that people that take captive. You know, we so often quote that scripture in 2 Corinthians 10 that says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What are those strongholds? Those strongholds are thought patterns. They are mindsets. They are ways that you have been formed and shaped. Your thoughts and your thinking have been shaped by the way that you were brought up. By the media, by the current media that tells you, you are number one. Look out for number one. You are the most important person. Be the best person you can be by Friday. That is what the world programs you to be. That's what some Christian preachers even preaches at you for you to be. A self-centered gospel where God is there to fulfill my every need and desire. While when it comes to the Word of God, it is the opposite. There is a mindset that needs to be broken. There is a mindset that needs to be changed. If we truly want to be a people of the kingdom, we need to be a people that seek the kingdom first. I want to ask you this morning to be honest with yourself, because you've heard, I'm convinced that you've heard sermons about seeking the kingdom first. But I want to ask you this morning, what does that mean for you? How do you do that? Because here's two things that Jesus says to people that they should do, not just think about. He says, do not be anxious. So it's something that we shouldn't do. But then he also said, instead of being anxious, he said, seek first the kingdom. Later on in Philippians, it also says, in Philippians 4, it says, be anxious for nothing. And then what? But in everything, in prayer, in supplication, with thanksgiving, make your what known to God? Your request, not your needs. Your request known to God. And then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will put a guard over your mind and over your heart. How you think and how you feel. Put a guard over your heart and over your mind in Christ Jesus. What does Romans 14 say about what is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, of peace, and of joy in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So, what does it mean when you hear the words, seek first the kingdom? What is your action? What do you do? is your first response when the thought comes. Because I want to tell you that anxiety will come and the stress will come. The anxiety and the stress, or the stress that wants to bring the anxiety, will come. That is not the sin. If that distress was a sin, then Jesus would have sinned, because Jesus was distressed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus didn't walk through the Garden of Gethsemane with a smile on his face. He sweated blood. He was distressed. Even after an angel ministered to him, it says, and Jesus was distressed of soul. But what did he do in his distress? He prayed. He sought first the kingdom. He sought first to align himself with the thinking of the kingdom, with the king of the kingdom. He aligned himself with his Father's will. So when you face any situation, your first port of call, if you say, I am a Christian, I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and I put the kingdom first. I seek the kingdom first. In other words, when the stress comes, the first response should be prayer. Should be prayer. Who of you, I must say that I've done this, and I still sometimes do this. It's like when somebody has a headache, immediately you go to the medicine. Immediately you go for the Panado. Immediately you go for the Myprodol. Immediately you go for the pain tablet. If it persists, you go to the doctor. Praise God for doctors. I love doctors. Then we go to the specialist. And then we get a second opinion. And if nothing else works, maybe we should pray. My brother and sister, that is not seeking the kingdom first. That is not seeking the kingdom first. That is seeking the kingdom last. If we are anxious about finances, and we think, hey, maybe I should remortgage my house, and maybe I should sell this, and maybe if I just get another job, maybe if you prayed first. That's making the kingdom and seeking the kingdom first. Not a casual glance at the kingdom. Jesus, help me. Okay, now, thank you, Jesus. You didn't come through in 2 seconds. Now I'm going to go out on my own. No, it's seeking the kingdom. It's seeking the kingdom. And here is a clear command. Here is a clear command from Jesus himself. If Peter was here, he would have told you, these are red letters. Mine are all black. Sorry about that, Aussies. But they're still the words of Jesus. And if you go and look in the parallel passage where Jesus speaks in Luke chapter 12, because maybe you think it's just Matthew, Jesus says basically the same. And you do not seek by meditating and reasoning to inquire into what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be of anxious mind. For all the pagan world is seeking these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Only aim at and strive and seek His kingdom, and all these things shall be supplied to you also. Verse 32, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, the kingdom of God is not sort of keeping the kingdom to himself, and we need to pry the kingdom out of his hand and really convince him that he needs to release. It is our Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. But this is said in the context of what? Seeking it first. You see, sometimes we take that scripture, We take that scripture in isolation and we don't include it in the true conversation in which it was said. And Jesus was speaking about it. So as long as we are anxious about stuff, and as long as we're not seeking the kingdom, although it is a pleasure to give us, we might not get it. You see, there is this indication that it has to do with seeking the kingdom. And when we seek, we will find. If we don't seek even that which is the Father's pleasure for us, we will not find it. Often when the Bible speaks about the kingdom, the parables of the kingdom, the pictures of the kingdoms, it's something that is precious that needs to be sought after. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price, so that when a man found it, he went and he sold everything that he had and he bought the land so he could get that pearl of great price. The kingdom is likened to a woman that lost a coin. And she stopped everything that she was doing and she started cleaning out her house and she was looking for the coin. She wasn't like, oh, the coin's lost. That's bad. I hope I find it someday. She stopped everything and she started looking because there was a preciousness to this coin to her. There was a preciousness. She needed to find it. And it is the same with the kingdom. It is the Father's pleasure to give us the kingdom. And now some people ask, but Jan, if it's the Father's pleasure to give us the kingdom, why aren't we getting the kingdom? Maybe we're not seeking. Or maybe we're not seeking as a first priority. We're seeking it as a last resort. Or we seek it as a Christian duty. We seek it as something that we want to use for ourselves. But Jesus is clear on this. As if that word seek first is the Greek word proton. It means first in importance and priority. And I want to encourage us all that we would change our minds with regard to the kingdom. That we would change our minds with regard to how do we enter into the kingdom and how we receive what the Father's good pleasure for us is. And if we truly want to be a people that are known as a people of the kingdom, then we need, and we want to create a culture. In other words, a culture is something that people do without really concentrating. It's something that is so embedded in who they are that when pressure comes, they even do that without thinking a lot. And if we want to be a people of the kingdom that seeks first the kingdom, then we need to ask God to change our minds. Then we need to ask God in every situation, God, as soon as that anxiety comes about what about my finances, my first response will not remortgaging my house, will not to lend money or to borrow money from somewhere else, to get the fourth job, to, you know, seek a better job, but to say, God, you say that you will look after me. You are my provider. I look to you, God. When somebody gets sick, our first response, let's pray. When we don't have wisdom, we don't Google first and hope God confirms it afterwards. If we lack wisdom, the Word of God says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the giving God that gives liberally or generously without fault finding. But then he says, but there's one condition, that when you ask, you must believe that you will receive it. Because if you say, oh, well, maybe I'll get it, maybe I won't, then the Lord says such a man must not even presume that he will receive anything from God. And he is a double-minded man, and in fact it says he becomes unstable in all his ways. So here's faith. If you're really struck in a situation that you need the wisdom of God, and you realize I don't have the wisdom, and you pray by faith, really believing the word of God, and say, God, I lack wisdom. Will you please grant me the wisdom? Can you believe that the next thought that comes up in your mind is the wisdom of God? Or do you second guess it again? If you second guess it, you won't receive it. That's what the word says. You see, a kingdom, a people of the kingdom that seeks first the kingdom is in all of their lives. When people speak to you, when people speak about you, and they say, it seems like every time they open their mouths, it's something about the kingdom. We should say, thank you. That's a sign. That is a sign that culture has been established. Because culture comes out in your speech. Culture comes out in your actions. Culture comes out in your practices. Culture comes out in your songs. Culture comes out wherever you are. You can be at a braai, you can be at a church service, you could be at a party. If you are truly, if something has been inculcated in you, what your heart is full of, your mouth will speak of. That is a sure sign that there has been a cultivation of something inside of you. Otherwise, it becomes parrot behavior. You know, and we wish we can become like other people, and we don't really become, we are not cultured, we are not being, something has not been inculcated in us, but we have behavior that we copy. And it doesn't come from the inside, and when the pressure comes on, we will ultimately revert to what is really in our hearts. When the pressure is on, we revert back to what's really in our hearts. And I believe if we want to be a people that will see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus has taught us how to pray and instructed us how to pray, then we need to be a people that truly seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the counsel of God. Seek first the wisdom of God. Even if you think you have the wisdom, I want to tell you, your wisdom pales into foolishness in the light of the wisdom of God. So your best bet before you think that you are wise is say, God, I need your wisdom. If it coincides with yours once in a while, great. But it's the safest thing to say, God, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. God, I need your kingdom to come in this situation. I need your kingdom to come as it is in heaven at the moment. The thoughts of heaven, the thought that you have concerning this situation, concerning this relationship, concerning this crisis, God, you have the answer. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Here's the thing. We said it this morning. The world around us is shaking. On every front, there are shakings. There's economic shakings. There's political shakings. There's shakings of all kinds. There's social, political shakings. And maybe you are experiencing some of that shaking in your own life. There are relational shakings. Maybe you are experiencing that shakings. And God says in Hebrews chapter 12, He says, once more I will shake the heavens and the earth, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And He says, and this shaking is actually for the removing of the things that can be shaken. The shaking, because sometimes we put our trust in things. We don't seek the kingdom. We put our trust in things, even for our future. We put our trust in pension funds. We put our trust in all kinds of things. We put our trust in our own ability to provide stability for ourselves. We buy properties, and I'm not against properties, but you know, the way things going right now, we might not have properties. So we put our hope in things that we think cannot be shaken, and then God allows these shakings so that we can realize, man, what I've been putting my trust in is not really trustworthy. It's not. I thought it would secure my future, but maybe it won't. And God says, so this shaking is for the removal of that which can be shaken, for you are receiving what? An unshakable kingdom. The advantages for us to seek this kingdom first is no matter what happens in this life, what happens in this country, what happened in this age, in this generation, it can happen, it can shake all at once. Because we have an unshakable kingdom. You see, if we shake as much as the world, when the shaking comes, who will they run to? But you see, if we stand, if the Church of Jesus Christ stands as an unshakable entity in a world that is shaking, when the shaking comes, those that are shaking will run to that which is unshakable. And we need to be ready to be a people to be able to receive that, because we are ever receiving an unshakable kingdom. So let us be passionate Jesus lovers. Let us be passionate in our love for Jesus by obeying Jesus when He repeats repeatedly, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't seek the kingdom. It's not simply, are you worried? Yes. Okay, don't worry. That's not what the Bible. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer. So as soon as anxiety comes, that prayer and communicating with God and aligning ourselves with what God is saying would be our first priority, would be our first response, would be the divine impulse of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Instead of battling through until we come to the end of ourselves and say, okay, let's try prayer now. But that we will be a people that in every situation, in every moment, would say, I'm seeking the kingdom first. Whether it's in business, whether that's in the relationship, whether that's in decisions about your future, whether it's about issues of health, whether it's about issues of freedom, of not being free, in issues of being threatened or not being threatened, that we say, I will seek the kingdom first. And what happens in the kingdom is what I'm going to do. I'm going to align myself with the ways of the kingdom. And if the king speaks, I obey. When the Lord instructs and commands, I gladly and joyfully obey as a love offering. Because I'm seeking the kingdom. Because the kingdom is worth seeking. I don't seek the kingdom because Matthew 6:33 says it. I'm seeking the kingdom because the kingdom for me is like a pearl of great price. I'll sell everything for the sake of the kingdom. I'll give up everything for the sake of the kingdom. Then I believe not only will we be known as people of the kingdom, but we will see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But it comes with the seeking. Even in prayer, Jesus says, ask. He said, seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will open. Door will be open for you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Actually, what it says, the tense is there, is seek and keep on seeking. Ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. There needs to be this persistent, if we want to see a culture of the kingdom being shaped in our midst as a community of Christ and of His kingdom, then we need to repeatedly seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom first. And here's the thing that I found in the days that I've managed to do that. When I sought the kingdom, I had to seek very little else. Because the kingdom was enough. And then I found when I truly sought the kingdom, all these other things were added. Just like Jesus said it would. Just like He said it would. But some days my life is more like, seek these other things first, and maybe the kingdom will be added unto me. That's not the kind of culture that we trust in the Lord to shape in our midst. I love the word that, I'm closing with this, I love the word that Maya used this morning, radical, and the book that David Platt wrote. And we think radical is something extraordinary, right? When someone is radical, it means that they are more than ordinary. The Latin word actually means at the root of, or it actually means fundamental. It's foundational. In fact, the first root that a plant or a seedling shoots out, it's called a radical. So being radical is not being extraordinary. It simply means really being rooted and founded into the very foundation. So I'm praying for radical seeking of the kingdom of God. You know what? That's going to be good for you. That's going to be good for your family. That's going to be good for your marriage. That's going to be good for your business. That's going to be good for our community. That's going to be good for our nation. And that's going to be good for the nations of this earth. When everything is shaking, we have been given and we are receiving an unshakable kingdom. An unshakable kingdom. I want to encourage us all this morning to commit yourself, to a seeking of the kingdom. Say, God, just come and give me a fresh understanding of what it means to seek your kingdom first. And this goes for everything. My child's future, my involvement in other stuff. Because here's the thing about seeking. Who of you have lost car keys just before you had to drive? They always get lost just before you drive. Do you just go on with your life as normal and find it later? Or does the whole household come to a standstill? Chaos erupts as everybody looks for the key. Seeking will require that you leave other less important things. You can't seek and go on with life as usual. You can't. I suppose you can. You'll just take a long way and a long time to find. But if we are singular in our seeking of the kingdom, we will find it. We will find it. Amen. Can we maybe stand together? Father, I just want to thank you for what you are busy shaping in our midst, God. I thank you, Lord, for this journey that you have us on. I thank you, Lord, that you are not in a hurry with this journey with us, but you want to be thorough in this journey. I thank you, Lord, that you're not jumping from one topic to another. You are not here to entertain us with information, but you want to shape us into your very image. And you want to release your kingdom more and more in our midst. So, Father, we thank you for every bit of kingdom that we have received already and is already being manifested in our midst. I thank you for that, and that makes us even more hungry and desiring even more of your kingdom. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray that you'll teach us how to seek you first. Seek you first. That we will not simply seek the kingdom, but we will seek the kingdom first as a matter of urgency and a matter of importance and a matter of priority in every area of our lives. How we relate to one another, how we live together as married couples, how we raise our children, how we live in our community, how we work at our jobs and our careers, how we study, how we conduct ourselves in every arena of life. And I pray, God, for a permeation of your kingdom into every conversation in the name of Jesus. That as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I pray, God, that we will so guard our hearts with regard to the things of the kingdom, that the issue of our lives would become the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The king and his kingdom will become our preoccupation, our obsession. The thing that takes first and center stage in our lives, in our thoughts, in our speech, in our conversations, in our actions, in our lives. I thank you, God, for people that you have saved through your amazing grace. I pray that these same people would now commit themselves again and again and again to the Lordship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that our lives would be about our King and his kingdom. I pray, God, that we will disassemble our own little kingdoms and our own little plans and our own little agendas that we try to devise to create safety and security and convenience and comfort for ourselves. And we would say, all for your kingdom, God. All for your kingdom, God. Father, I pray once again, as we spoke this morning about stepping out of the boat, even in stormy times, at night times, Lord, I pray, God, once again that there will be a people, that there will be people that will say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, if you tell me to sell everything and pack it up and go and plant a church somewhere, I will go, Lord. I'm not going to try and build my own little kingdom. I'm not going to try and build my own little cocoon of safety for myself. But it's about your kingdom. It's about your kingdom. Father, and I pray, as anxiety comes this week, like it will, like it always does, I pray, God, that our first response would be, your kingdom, God. Your kingdom, God. God, I'm taking this thought. I'm taking it captive. I'm taking this thought captive and I'm bringing it to submission of the King of Kings, and I'm aligning this thought. I'm bringing it under submission of Christ. And if it doesn't align with Christ, I reject it in Jesus' name. And I embrace the mind of Christ. I make a divine exchange between my own thought and demonic thought. And I embrace the mind of Christ and the thoughts of God. And I seek first the kingdom and all its righteousness. All that it means that we have been declared righteous and are now sons and daughters of the Most High God. Kingdom first. Everything else second. Kingdom first. Kingdom first. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.